16 minutes after 3 o'clock here on Downtown, a Thursday afternoon show live at Seasons Main Street in Bangor and our Quality Jewelers broadcast studios. Rich Kimball here with you. And our next guest has been making great music for more than two decades now. You know him for songs like Walk Through This World With Me, 29 Ways, True Companion, Walking in Memphis, and many more. He'll be appearing at the Gracie Theater on May 5th and at the Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield on May 7th. And he joins us right now on the G&M Family Market phone line. Mark Cohn, thank you for being with us this afternoon.
It's a pleasure being with you. Thank you.
Man, first of all, as it seemed to you, like 25 years has gone quickly as you celebrating the 25th anniversary of your first album with a tour. Where did that time go?
That's a good question, man. Where does the time go? It feels, you know, some days it feels like it's been every bit of 25 years. And right now, lately, it feels like it's gone by in a flash. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Well, let's go back 25 years because that first album and your first single, Walking in Memphis, just took the country by storm. Were you prepared, and can anybody really be prepared for the reaction when a song and an album blow up the way those did?
No. I mean, you know, I was about, I guess I was already 30 years old by the time my first record came out. I was signed to Atlantic Records, which was a lifelong dream come true. But nobody at Atlantic, and certainly not me, thought that we had a major smash hit on our hands. Everybody at Atlantic really liked the record, the whole album. So did I. I was proud of it. It took me 2 years to make it in the studio. And I knew when I wrote that song that it was the beginning of me finding my songwriting voice. That it was very original sounding. It was a good lyric, an interesting story. And it was authentic. It was me. It was me telling my story about visiting Memphis and the power of music. But nobody knew it was a hit. In fact, I remember very distinctly Atlantic telling me, if you sell 20,000 copies of your first album, we'll let you make another one. And that's all I cared about, was please let me sell enough copies to make another record. And, you know, a few months later, it was gold. So nobody knew, but it was just an amazing, amazing time.
Well, you kind of answered my next question, because Walking in Memphis is such an evocative song. It's one of those, anybody who's been to Memphis, it immediately transforms them to that place. And for anyone who hasn't been there, they want to be there after hearing that song. So that was based on real experience.
It was, yeah. I actually went to Memphis looking for inspiration. I had read this really interesting interview 28 years ago with James Taylor in Rolling Stone or some other music magazine. And I think the journalist asked, what do you do to help your writer's block? And his answer was that he went to unfamiliar places. He'd get in his car or get on a plane and just go somewhere he'd never been before, the idea being that his sensibilities would be opened up and he might get an idea he wouldn't get if he just stayed in the same environment he was familiar with. And so I made a conscious effort to follow James Taylor's advice and start traveling. And one of the first places I knew I wanted to go, because so much of the music I loved came from there, was Memphis. And it was one of those rare instances where you're looking to be inspired, and it happens.
You've worked with so many incredible people in your career, from Tracy Chapman to Phil Ramone, a friend of our show, Jimmy Webb, along the way. Mm. How many of all those wonderful people you've had a chance to collaborate with, Roseanne Cash, John Leventhal, who's the person that has made the biggest impact on you?
Oh, I mean, I have to say that's probably the part of my career that I am so thrilled about, is that so many of my early heroes became mentors and friends. And I guess there's three people that come to mind, all for very different reasons. The first is Bonnie Raitt, who is probably my favorite singer on earth. Bonnie has been such a great friend and such a great mentor and supporter. I've toured with her, I don't know, three different tours beginning 25 years ago. We did 40 or 50 shows a couple of years back. And now I'm about to open some shows for Bonnie in Europe in June, which I'm thrilled about. She sang on my second record. I just adore her. I think she's one of the great human beings and great artists of our time. So she's at the top of the list for me. And very close with Bonnie is another great friend of mine, Jackson Browne, one of my all-time songwriting heroes, who's been equally generous. And I would say David Crosby, too. All of those three who I admired and revered from afar have been fantastic friends. And I'm proud to say, you know, I know them well. We've been able to collaborate over the years on many different things, many different ways. David recorded a couple of my songs. Jackson is constantly sitting in at my shows. So that's the part of what I do that's like pinch me time. It's just remarkable.
We're talking with Mark Cohn on Downtown. He'll be at the Gracie Theater on May 5th at Husson University and at the Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield on May 7th. Well, I've been a fan of your music for all these 25 years, and one of my favorite albums is one you did about 5 or 6 years ago, Listening Booth 1970. First of all, right in my wheelhouse, because I was about 12 or 13 years old that year. But so many iconic songs, Tears of a Clown, No Matter What, Maybe I'm Amazed, Only Living Boy in New York City. What's, to me, fantastic about that album is you've taken these songs that we've all known for 40-plus years and absolutely made them your own.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, John Leventhal and I made that record in very short order. It was such a fun record to make. Once we hit upon the concept that we were just going to do songs from 1 year and sort of take a snapshot of the music world and that 1 year and try to transform the song somehow as well. Once we hit on that concept and recorded the first few, we knew we were onto something. And I mean, I'm usually not interested in the idea of a covers record, but I'm really proud of that record because I think the idea was original, and I think we did a good job transforming them. You're right. I mean, everybody knows the originals. They really can't be topped. They're such classic records. The only thing you can do is try to reinvent them, and I think we did that.
Let's talk about one of the dark moments in your life, and would be a dark moment in anybody's life, when you had that horrific experience of being shot in the head during an attempted carjacking and miraculously came out of that not only alive but physically fairly unscathed in all of this, but that has to leave an impact. How did that change your life? How did it change your perspective on life?
Well, you know, it kept changing. The initial reaction I had was the same as anybody's, which was I was very frightened and freaked out, had a lot of post-traumatic stress, which, you know, is pretty much gone now, 10 or 11 years later. But I worked through that with a therapist, which was really helpful. And but oddly enough, as time went on, you know, I made sure I went back on the road fairly soon after that happened. I was so lucky that I wasn't physically injured. Somehow the bullet just lodged in the soft tissue between the outside of my face and my skull. It was a miracle. I watched them take the bullet out, fully conscious. But after I got over the first bout of post-traumatic stress, I became more and more inspired to just really kind of make more music. I guess it reminded me that one thing we all walk around with but try not to think about is that we're all here, you know, just by the grace of God, right? You know, it's like every day is a gift. It's another great thing Bonnie Raitt always says to me. I say, Bonnie, how you doing today? She said, it's another day above the ground. So, you know, that to me is what it reminded me of. It's like every day is a blessing. I got to get out there and make my music. So ever since that happened, I've been probably more engaged in my career than ever before. So it was a oddly fortunate thing to have happen, because it really woke me up to the importance of and my appreciation for my career and my audience.
Well, and as songwriters and artists do, you put that into your work as well, along with your reaction to the events that took place with Hurricane Katrina, and turned that into a wonderful song, Dance Back from the Grave. How helpful was creating that to you in processing everything?
Well, you're right. I mean, that was probably the biggest thing that happened, which was it inspired me. I mean, all of a sudden, I had a lot to write about. I got shot in August. And Hurricane Katrina of the same year hit about 3 or 4 weeks later. And there I was recovering from my own sort of personal trauma. and then I'm watching one of America's great cultural cities being devastated. And it was a very vulnerable time for me, but it was the kind of, that's the kind of stuff that happens that gets me to a place where it's no longer a matter of craft or career move. I just have to write. That's how I process trauma. I've been doing that since I was a kid. In fact, oddly enough, if you name a record of mine, I can tell you what trauma or difficult thing I was trying to work through when that record was made. That's just really what gets me to write, is to try to process difficult things.
Well, now you're celebrating the 25th anniversary of that first album, not only with the tour, but with a couple of releases, one being Careful What You Dream, Lost Songs and Rarities, and then also Evolution of a Record. It's a chance to not only revisit that 25 years ago recording process, but also share with your fans some music and some takes that they haven't heard before.
Exactly, yeah. That's I'm really excited about this record. It's a two-CD set. It can be downloaded on iTunes, but you can buy it at my shows and pretty soon off my website as well. I went back specifically because it is 25 years since the first record. I went looking with my producer, Ben Wish, who had all these digital audio tapes from back then. I went looking for the original demos of Walking in Memphis and True Companion. I remember, you know, where I was, that I had made these demos very quickly, about 6 or 7 days after I wrote those songs. So I wanted to find those early demos, and all I was thinking about at the time was, I'll just release those one at a time, maybe three at a time, I didn't know. But when we started to look through all these old digital audio tapes that were in Ben Wish's basement in New Jersey, we found 10 or 11, not only did we find all these great old demos of songs that my fans do know, but I found about 12 or 13 songs that nobody's heard because I'd forgotten about them completely. And they really surprised me. I liked them a lot. And once I heard them, it just brought back all kinds of memories. But I thought this would be the right time to just release them. Part of me wanted to redo them, try to make them sound, you know, a little bit more modern or up to date. But the truth is, they work as they are. And I think they're more interesting because you'll hear me as a 25, 26-year-old kid still trying to find my songwriting and singing voice. And for the most part, it's an interesting record. And I'm really proud to let the fans hear these tunes that they've never heard.
Grammy Award winner Mark Cohn appearing at the Gracie Theater on May 5th and at the Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield on May 7th. And actually in between, if you're down in New Hampshire, stop in at the Tupelo Music Hall in Londonderry as well. Mark, I've enjoyed your music for all these 25 years. It's a real treat for us to have a chance to talk with you this afternoon. Continued success, and thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
29 minutes after 3 o'clock.